Hallelujah. Let us raise our hands. Alone His grace is enough. Even today it's like this. We only need His grace. His grace that He favors us. So I want to pray this morning that You will pour out Your grace anew. You are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, Son of God. And as a church we say Amen. You can take your seats. This morning, we want to look at a very unique story. The Holy Spirit has something in store for you this morning. So when you hear His voice today, do not harden your heart. But the Holy Spirit wants to lead you into peace. We want to look at the story of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And to start, I want to give you a small context, because this story stands in a context. So we want to look into the Old Testament. And these images want to speak to us today. They are foreshadowings of other events. And these stories also want to further our faith. Jesus Christ wants to get to know us better through these stories. So here we read that David has a wish in his heart to return the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. David had this wish, this desire to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. During the time of Saul, this was not a wish, and it had been away in Kirjath-Jearim for 20 years. So now they wanted to take it back. 30,000 men and women were on their way to bring this Ark of the Covenant back. And this golden ark, the epitome of the glory of God, they pulled it. And it was determined that Uzzah and Ahio were to pull this ark. And there were lots of musicians. And the King David danced in front of this ark, and there was pure joy. And this ark was on a wagon that was pulled by two oxes. And one of these oxes stumbled. And Uzzah wanted to stop the ark from falling to the ground, and he died immediately because he touched the ark. And David, he was shocked. He was shocked that because of one of his orders, a man had to die. We know from the Old Testament that the Ark of the Covenant should be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. But David just copied what the Philistines did. That led to the ark being stolen, and the temple was destroyed. And the Philistines decided that since this Ark of the Covenant is with us, we have all of these disasters happening to us,
finden, dann wissen wir, die Strafe kam von Gott. Wenn sie den Heimweg nicht selbst finden, diese Rinder, dann war die Plage nicht von der Bundeslade. Und diese Rinder, die fanden...
So they put the ark on the... So the Philistines put the ark on a wagon with oxes, and they decided that all of these catastrophes that befell the Philistines came from this ark, this glory of God. So Uzzah thought that he had to help God by catching the ark. And as he died, lots of people were shocked. And David then decided, I do not want this Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem with me. And as he looked around, he saw a small house, the house of Obed-Edom. 30,000 people came to this house. Obed-Edom was probably just looking out of the window or looking out of the door. And he was shocked to see all of these people coming to him. And he was even more shocked to see the Ark of the Covenant coming to his house. And maybe he was the next candidate to die of shock. Goliath was a Gittite. Obed-Edom was a Gittite, one of the Philistines. And now the Ark of the Covenant came to his house. So who knows what the Ark of the Covenant is? Most of us know it. It is kind of a box that is that has gold around it, and it has two poles attached with rings. And over this box there was a lid, and on this lid there were two golden cherubim. Angels. And over these cherubim, the throne of mercy of God was. And in this Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments of Moses. The first ones, of course, were broken, but the second ones were in there. These commandments were in the Ark of Covenant. You can read that in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1 and 2.
Das können wir lesen im Hebräerbrief, Kapitel 3, 9, Kapitel 9.
And in Hebrews 9, verse 3 and 4, we can read also that the staff of Aaron was in there.
Früchte hatte und Mandeln an sich hatte. Diese Bundeslade,
this Ark of the Covenant now came into the house of someone who was certainly not qualified for this. Just imagine you living in the Emmental or in the Seeland. And just imagine that the Ark of the Covenant comes into your room. And it is put into your living room next to your TV. How would you feel? How would you feel if every step that you do in your house is somehow molded or watched by the glory of God? They called out the name Yahweh Tsebaot, the Lord of Hosts. I think that would probably cause your life to be put on its head. Every decision you would reflect under the fear of God. And you would think, is this the priority of from God? Will I not die if I do this? You would check everything with God and the Word of God and the glory of God. Obed-Edom Obed means servant, and Edom is a god, a pagan god. So he comes from the line of Esau. And we know that Esau was under a curse, and all of his descendants. They were living in excess, they were living in sin and in dirt. You cannot imagine how sinful Obed-Edom was. He was a servant of a pagan god, and now the Ark of Covenant comes into his house, and suddenly he will probably realize how much of a sinner he is. Certainly not someone who is qualified for the glory of God. And God hates all of the people who come out of the line of Esau. You can read that God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. But how can we say that God hates the line of Esau? It's because of his sin. And those people who served Edom did not live according to according to the standard of God. We also are sinners. We are a metaphor for Obed-Edom. We would not deserve the glory of God to come into our houses. But God's presence wants to come to you. He searches for those who are lost. He searches for those who are not qualified. He searches for those who are not according to his standard. And what happened? Obed-Edom momentarily stopped his old life. He knew this is the hour I will only receive once in my life. This chance will only come once in my life. And there are chances in your life that only come once. And it's about deciding in this one moment to decide to serve the God of Israel. And Obed-Edom began to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. And he survived not only these 3 months where the Ark of the Covenant was in his house, but he was blessed. We can read that in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, that Obed-Edom and his house was blessed. But God cannot bless someone who is under the law of sin, who is under the judgment. Something has to happen, and something had to happen here. We know that the lid of the Ark of the Covenant is called the lid of reconciliation. Jesus Christ is our reconciliation. Jesus Christ has become reconciliation to us. Nobody is according to the standard of God. Nobody is good enough. So Obed-Edom, his whole life capitulated before God, surrendered. So how would it go with you if you would realize God, the Almighty, the Holy One, stands before me? Jesus Christ, he lives. He is the one who forgives all of your sins. He is the one who gives you a new life. He is the one who wants to free you. Isaiah said it the following way. Isaiah 16, verse 4 and 5. The oppressor will come to an end, and destruction will cease. The aggressor will vanish from this land. In love a throne will be established. In faithfulness a man will sit on it. One from the house of David, one who in judging seeks justice and speeds the cause of righteousness. And that was the action of David. He wanted to bring the ark back into the city of David, back into Jerusalem, so that he can rule there and do the administration there and everything. God's presence, if you come into the presence of God, then he will do a work that every power of darkness will be broken. Every aspect, every destruction, if the grace and the presence of God comes into your life, then you will notice there will be a freeing work. And Obed-Edom was bound, he was enslaved by a spiritual enslavement. He was living a life of, you cannot really say what kind of a life he lived. It was so bad. And God says, I restore you. I end your sin. I start my work in you. And you will experience how I sit onto the throne of your life. So there was the Ark of the Covenant, the lid of reconciliation above it, and then the throne of mercy, the epitome of the glory of God. So, who is our reconciliation? Jesus Christ. Who restores us through the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ. Who is the one who restores our body, soul, and mind? It is Jesus Christ. And that is also in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. He who knew no sin, who knew of no sin, became sin for us, so that we might become his righteousness. Proverbs, in the Proverbs you can read that God blesses the house of the just, and Obed-Edom became just. And we who do not hold up to the standards of God, we are blessed when God's presence comes into our lives. He forgives us our sins and our guilt. He ends the power of the darkness. He lets us stand as free people. Obed-Edom experienced this freedom. It is the job of a priest to go in front before the Ark of the Covenant and to call on the name of the Lord. Yahweh Nisi, Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh Shalom, my God, my peace, Yahweh Roy, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord that sanctifies me, and so on. And Obed-Edom, he experienced reconciliation and restoration. He was the accursed. Everyone who serves foreign gods, idolatry, he comes under a curse. And we knew that Jesus Christ became a curse unto us, so that we can be freed through him. And God blessed Obed-Edom. In Ephesians we read that we are blessed with every blessing that comes from above. God blessed Obed-Edom. The following will happen. God will bless you. The first thing we have to do is to give glory to Him, to orient our lives on Him. And then He begins to lift the curses from our lives. Every sadness, every distress, every sickness, and Obed-Edom experienced how he became blessed. And in this Ark of the Covenant there were 10 commandments. And we know that out of ourselves, we cannot fulfill these commandments. But when the presence of God comes into our lives, then we can. The Holy Spirit always leads us to a place where we begin to glorify the Lord. And there was also a golden vessel with manna in it. And it's a symbol for provision that God will provide for you. God wants to speak to you. Every day of your life, He speaks to you through His Word, through His Spirit. And He speaks and He gives you guidance. And you will more and more start to realize what the will of God is. And the staff of Aaron was also in there. So when it was decided who would be the priest in the house of God, only the staff of Aaron blossomed and had blossoms on it, and that was the sign that Aaron should be the priest. And that is a symbol that new things can happen in our lives. New things can blossom. They can be small things, but new things happen. New things will come. New things will blossom. You will blossom in the Lord, and you will carry fruits at its due time. And you will eat and smell the word of God. Obed-Edom was blessed. And blessing comes through the presence of God. You don't have to be afraid. Search for Him daily. Have time with Him. And you will experience how blessing comes into your life. That is the first point. Turn back to Jesus. If you have not decided to follow Jesus yet, you have never decided to give your life to Him, you are not reconciled with Him, make the first decision today and say, I want to. Lord, I want to get to know You. I want to use my time to search for God, to study the Word. Begin to orient your life onto the Lord. And maybe you realize inside yourself, I am like Obed-Edom. I'm not worthy to have the presence of the Lord with me. But God wants to live in you. We come to second aspect, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 10. Obed-Edom and his whole house were blessed. Obed-Edom and his family, his whole house, they were blessed. God wants to not only bless you, but through you the blessing shall go on. God wants to bless your family, your marriage, your parents, your children, your siblings, your whole families He wants to bless. And the biggest blessing is when your whole family begins to get to know the presence of God. Obed-Edom, he had a family, and Obed-Edom had the Ark of the Covenant with him 3 months in his house. And probably one of his sons came to him once and said, Obed or had said, Father, I am not the son, I'm not a worthy son, I have so many sins. And they confessed sins to each other. That's how I imagine it. And they told each other, I have not lived in the way that is good. And they began then to seek the Lord, and together, maybe you have a family that loves to be together. Relationships should be restored. How many relationships, how many family relationships are destroyed, are broken? God wants to restore your family. He wants to restore your marriage. How would it be if you see your husband with new eyes as a gift from God? And I said, and you say, I love my husband. He is good as he is. But I pray for him that he doesn't remain as he is, but that he becomes transformed into the image of God. But say, yes, I want to accept my husband as he is. And I want to meet him with respect, with honor. I want to see him as valuable. And I want to see him being transformed into the image of God. Where is the amen of the men? Dear women, dear ladies, your husbands are a blessing for you. God blessed Obed-Edom with a wonderful relationship to his wife. If you are not married yet, then the best thing you can do today is to say, Lord, bless me with a wife. And God will start to work in you and in your future wife, so that everything will work, and so that blessing will be experienced and revealed. Blessing shows itself in families, in relationships, to mothers and fathers-in-law. God wants to save whole families. Paul says it in the following way. In Acts of the Apostles we can read, if you live like this, you and your whole family will be saved. God wants to save your whole family and restore it. And what happened after this? The whole family of Obed-Edom decided to follow the Lord. God wants you to say together with Joshua, I and my household, we will serve the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, you will serve the Lord. And in the Fimi of Bern, whole families shall be integrated. That you shall have a connection with the church, with the Fimi. Just see, imagine how it would be in the presence of God. Pray. How would it be to have your whole family here in the Fimi, to have your whole family in the Fimi? Where is the amen? We want whole families to be reconciled to God and to have a home, a spiritual home. There is nothing better than when we start to serve the Lord. Obed means servant, and the whole family of Obed-Edom served. Joshua says in Joshua 24, verse 15, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So we should go to the Lord and say, this is what I can do, this is what I can give. And there is another aspect of the blessing of Obed-Edom over his house. We can read Obed-Edom was adopted. He was accepted into a spiritual family. In the first book of Chronicles, chapter 26, we can read, these are the sons of Jeduthun. Once Obed-Edom is listed and once he is not listed. And that, for me, means that he experienced spiritual adoption into the kingdom of God. Obed-Edom was adopted into a spiritual family in the Levites, with in a family of musicians. And everyone who comes into the family of God should have a new family. You should be invited to birthday parties. And when you have a birthday party, invite other people, invite new people. Invite people who need a spiritual father, a spiritual mother. We shall not be a closed-off clan that has no connections to the outside, but we shall be a family where everyone can come and be a part. We can share our joy. I pray for you that you get spiritual connections and that you will be adopted by someone. New friendships should start in your life. You shall get new spiritual fathers and mothers, brothers where you can really experience action with them, sisters who you can go shopping with, where you can go to the next boutique together. Family, that is not just a program, that is not just an event, that is not something you have to do, it's just a blessing. Family is a blessing of the Lord. And when you say, yeah, well, I'm not very molded, I'm not from a Christian family, I don't have this Christian influence in my family, then be the first to go on the ways of the Lord, to say, I will begin to live the standard of God in my house, and it will have effects to your family and to the third and fourth generation. There was one person who said, I want to begin to serve the Lord, and that was Obed-Edom. Let us read 1 Chronicles 26, verse 4. Obed-Edom also had sons, and then the sons are named through verses 4 and 5, and there were 8 sons. With 3 children, you are already a big family in Switzerland. With 4 children, you are asked, oh, how much do you earn? Do you earn enough to have 4 children? And with 5 children, you already need a small van. And Obed-Edom, he had 8 sons. Well, he needed some money to supply this family. But God is your provider. God wants to provide for you, for your children. And what does this mean concretely? Let us look at a secret in 1 Chronicles 26, verse 4. It said, the firstborn was Shemaiah. And Shemaiah means, Yahweh has heard me. Obed-Edom said, I have a God. I've experienced a God that has heard me. When you begin to follow Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with the Father, God listens to you. The God who made heaven and earth, all the stars, sun and moon, all the animals, everything He made, our Creator, He listens to you when you pray to Him. And that is the first revelation that Obed-Edom had. And he gave his firstborn the name Shemaiah. God has heard me. Hallelujah. God listens to you. You will pray much more in the future when you realize God will listen to you. You will begin to pray for things, for requests that you would never pray for, because you know that God listens to me. When you pray, God sharpens his ears and he listens to you. God listens to you. We have a God who listens to you. The second name, the second son, Jehozabad, means The Son, the God gives. So who searches will find. He who knocks, to him the door will be opened. Obed-Edom, he was not a Jew. He didn't know all of these things. He always had new revelations. So he gave his second son the name God gives, Jehozabad. And the third son, Joah, means God lives. In situations where God, where he needed God to encourage him, to bring him forward, he needed the son, Joah, the God gives. The fourth son, Sakar, God remembered me. God does not forget me. When the Ark of Covenant was brought to his house and was in his house for 3 months, when the Ark of the Covenant was taken away from him again after 3 months, he maybe asked himself, did God forget me now? But God did not forget him. Amen? Fifth name, Nethanel. Yahweh has given. We have a God who gives and gives again and again, blessing and blessing. Sixth name, Amiel. Yahweh is my protector. He protects you in every situation. You can be under the blessing of the Lord. You can move mountains under the protection of the Lord. God protects you and he preserves you and he from sickness and from early death. The seventh name, Issachar. All of his possessions, all of his blessings, he knew this is only temporary. Everything that we have will fade away once, but we are pilgrims that are going to eternity. And the last name, Pulethai. When you are faithful in the small things, God will say to you, you are a faithful servant. Go into the celebration. Have joy. And your greatest joy is God himself. Don't be fixated on every earthly thing. Let God be your reward. Orient yourself to the Lord. God restored his family. God lets us be a family, lets us be a church, a congregation, a community. He's there at our celebrations, at our grill parties, at our birthday parties. Let us celebrate with each other. We Swiss people, now the raclette and fondue time will come again. Let us have a celebration when we can have fondue. Let us integrate our families. We don't have to program this, you just have to live it. Obed-Edom's whole family was blessed. Now, David went with 30,000 men to the house of Obed-Edom, about 10 kilometers away from Jerusalem, from Kirjath-Jearim. This house is 10 kilometers distance from Jerusalem, and 30,000 people with all music and singing came. And David came to him again and said, Obed, I saw God has blessed you with this Ark of Covenant. I want it back. That belongs to us, not to you. Maybe it was a little bit rude, but Obed-Edom was a Philistine. But so David took the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And now it says here in 1 Chronicles 25, verse 26, that Obed-Edom left everything behind. He and his whole family, they left everything they had. They said, never we want to leave this Ark of the Covenant, even if we have to move to Jerusalem, even if we have a new city in this, we will move, no problem. And then we read that they had different services, different ministries in the congregation there. So these ministries were given to different people. Some people were singing, some people were making music, and Obed-Edom said, hey, I'm here as well. He made himself noticed. And he was integrated into the musicians, someone who played the sitar. A Philistine is embedded into this culture of Jews. And that reflects onto us. We all have to be worshippers. We all have to praise him. We have to worship him. What things can happen when we start to give room to this joy that the Lord has for us? You are the best that ever happened to us. Maybe you are just ironing your husband's shirts and you just begin to sing to God. We have to be worshippers, and it doesn't just mean that we have to do it personally by ourselves, but we should also do it with the church. Yes, Obed-Edom, he was not qualified for the first line, but the second line, and that's already very good. And we have the possibilities to sing along. When we have 60-plus afternoons, we were singing, and there are lots of people, we're just singing joyful songs. And Obed-Edom, he was just living what he already lived before. He just was courageous, and he started to live a life of worship. Also, us men, let's just begin to lift our voices to the Lord, to sing to him. Let us be creative. Maybe you get an impulse to just learn a new instrument today. And to start to learn a new instrument. Let us be creative. God wants to give you gifts. Maybe you will be the next bassist. Maybe you will be the next drummer. And God will enable you to learn this instrument in a very short time. Or maybe you get your violin back out of the closet and start to play the violin again. God wants that we are worshippers. And the second situation, this Obed-Edom, they searched people who would protect the Ark of the Covenant. So Obed-Edom was chosen as doorkeeper, as guardian of the Ark of the Covenant. He who already guarded the Ark of the Covenant for 3 months, he is allowed to be doorkeeper once again. And we also are enabled to be doorkeepers. We all have the presence of God in our lives. We should guard our eyes, guard our ears, guard our lives. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The glory of God lives in us. It lives in us. And this valuable thing, we should guard it. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 4. We have this heavenly treasure in earthly vessels. Guard this valuable thing. Just say, as Job did, I have a covenant with the Lord. Do not look at something that dishonors God. Or if you are a woman, do not compare yourself to other women. Guard your feelings. Solomon said it in Proverbs 4. Guard your heart more than anything else. Guard your heart. Be a guardian, a doorkeeper of the presence of God. God's presence lives in you. The Holy Spirit has taken residence in you. Guard your ears. Do not listen to negativity, to criticism, to lies. Say no, be quiet to accusations. Guard your ears. Guard your mouth. Don't just speak without thinking. Guard over what you are saying. Be a guardian of what you are saying. Be a guardian of the Ark of the Covenant. Do you understand me? We have a mission, a task, to see ourselves as valuable, to honor that which is in us. God wants the new thing to start to blossom in us. Guard yourself. Guard your family, your marriage. Say no to all the destructive things, everything that oppresses you. Say no. Be a guardian. Be a courageous guardian. Don't be afraid. Take a stand and say no to the accuser. Say stop. In your life, in your thinking, in your family, in your home, be a guardian. Think about it. And the last point, we can read this in 1 Chronicles 26, verse 15. To Obed-Edom, the lot for the south gate fell, and the lot for the storehouse fell to his sons. So Obed-Edom was the guardian of the south gate, and even his sons were chosen to guard something. The provision chamber. And I want to ask the band to come to the front. And that is the greatest thing we can have in our lives. God wants people who are standing in front of the place with the provisions and are guarding it. The provision place of God is everything that is stored. At that time, there was oil, wine, corn. Oil, wine, and corn. Obed-Edom and his whole family were appointed to guard the provisions. That means that they were always able to take oil and wine and corn. God wants to give you a access to his provisions, to oil, wine, and corn. To oil, this anointing of the Lord. The oil is a symbol for the Holy Spirit. You and your whole family shall have access to the oil, not for your own enrichment, but so that you can serve. You and your family shall serve with the power of the Holy Spirit and be a blessing to others. You and your whole family shall make a difference at this street where you live. Through you, the Holy Spirit shall come into families. They shall receive provision of oil, power of the Holy Spirit. It will restore you and give you strength. What else? There was also wine in this provision chamber. You shall drink from the wine of the Lord. The wine stands for the joy of the Lord. You shall drink of this best wine that there is. And the joy of the Lord shall be your strength and your protection. The covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ is fixed with his blood. You shall be someone who gives this joy and this wine to others. And you shall say to people you don't know, drink from this wine. Have joy in this wine. Have joy in the Lord. Let us drink this wine and pass it on to others. There is a Bible passage that says, do not get drunk with wine, but walk in the Holy Spirit. And the next thing is the corn. It is a symbol of the Word of God. There is a parable of the corn that is put onto the field, and this corn of God shall enrich your life and shall grow strong, and you shall be a person who distributes this corn to other people, who spreads it onto the field. You can reach your village for Jesus. Be someone who gives, who passes on the Word of God. Let us stand up as a church. I am convinced that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. We want to stretch out our hands to the Lord Jesus. I want to lead us into a prayer time. And the Holy Spirit will lead you wherever you are. There where you are, just raise your hands and just say, Lord, I'm giving you an answer. I want you to work in me. I have heard your voice. We are lifting our hands, if you can. We are praying. Do you realize that the presence of God comes close to you? Have you realized that you are a sinner? Then confess it right now. Everything that enslaves you and binds you shall fall away from you right now. God is faithful and just to forgive our sins if we confess them. And I want to proclaim this righteousness for you. He is the fulfilled work of Golgotha, of Calvary. You can stand in peace before him, and you can experience how the peace of God comes into your life right now. In the name of Jesus, every curse shall be broken. Every bondage and slavery and destruction and oppression shall just stop, in the name of Jesus. Every work of darkness shall be broken in the name of Jesus, in your life, in your relationships, in the name of Jesus. Everything there where oppression is, where depression is, in the name of Jesus, just say stop. No, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in heaven for new peace, that every heavy yoke is broken right now. And blessing shall come into your life. There shall be blessing in your life. Restoration. Feelings of joy that have been absent for a long time shall return, shall be restored. Lord Jesus, just restore us right now. Raise us up. Thank you, Lord, that you are looking at us as righteous. We are righteous before you because you fulfilled the work in us. In Jesus' name, and Father in heaven, we want to pray as a church for relationships. Just raise your voice where you are right now. Pray for your family. Pray for your relatives who are going through difficult times, who don't know him yet. We want to pray that in the next 3 months, steps will be taken of people that will bring them closer to God. Jesus, we pray, Father in heaven, that everyone that are bound, that are held back, they should be pulled, drawn to a living relationship with you. They shall be connected with their spiritual family, to a church, to a spiritual home. In Jesus' name, We encourage every soul that does not know you. We thank you for a haunting almost of your spirit to them. Work in them. Reveal yourself in dreams, in everyday situations. Speak to them, speak to their hearts, that they realize you live. You live and you want to have a living relationship with them. I pray for restorations of marriages, of families. Every pride, every stubbornness of heart shall just go away. Lovelessness, fornication, everything shall have no place in your family. We say, stop, come, Lord, in the fullness of your life. We want to pray together that we will serve each other with the gifts of the Spirit. If you don't know where to serve, if you don't know where to be helpful, where you can be of use to the church, pray that the Lord will reveal that to you. And Father, I thank you that we can be more than conquerors. Let us be worshippers. Let us worship you in every situation, that we can be men and women that have a high praise, that have realized that you are Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are blessed with musicians and new instruments shall be learned. I pray that people will learn new instruments. In the name of the Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for that the praise and the worship will not become weaker, but will become stronger, that we'll have breakthroughs in our personal lives. Father in heaven, I pray that we are guardians, that we learn to pull up the guard against the forces of darkness. There are a few people here who are not actively standing up right now. In the future, you will protect yourself. Every bad thing, you will not tolerate it anymore. I want to pray that you will become a steward of the provision of God. Yokes shall be broken. People shall receive the Holy Spirit when you pray. Sick shall be healed. Miracles shall happen when you pray. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father in heaven, that anointing will come into the lives of people so that we can do a service to this nation, to this canton of Bern, and beyond our own borders, that we have this joy. Thank you, Lord, that we have this deep joy found in you. And thank you that we can become people who sow into other lives, who sow into other nations. I pray that you are a multiplicator, a multiplier, that new people will get to know Jesus through you. We worship and we praise you. Thank you, Father in heaven. Thank you, Father in heaven.